Let's go back to this week's guest on Sullivan on the City, T-Bone Burnett.
You've worked with so many greats over the years. I mean, you told me that your first job was in Dylan's band.
Yeah, my first tour was with Bob Dylan. Yeah, I've had an incredibly lucky life. You know, I really have, and I have to say I'm deeply grateful for it too. That's how I thought it. That's another thing. You know, I got a job, went on the road with Bob Dylan, and that's how I thought it was always supposed to be.
You're on the Rolling Thunder tour.
That's right.
Did you meet Jacob Dylan on the Rolling Thunder tour?
I did. I've known Jacob since he was probably three or something like that.
Is that one of your biggest records, biggest selling records?
It is. I don't know how many it sold, but it was a monster multi-platinum record. And I love that record. One Headlight was a really good single. One of the best singles of the '90s, I reckon. Not, you know, just not from Jacob's, you know, as a songwriter and a single. I thought that was a really good single.
What was, as a record producer, the challenge of producing Bob Dylan's son?
Well, you can imagine, if as a singer-songwriter, the challenge of being Bob Dylan's son. So the challenge was to, you know, to support, you know, Lenny Waronker was my mentor as a record producer, who Lenny told me early on when I first started producing Los Lobos, I guess, for them. He said, you know, 95% of a producer's job is to support and encourage the artist, you know. And I think that's right. I've used that as a bedrock all this time I've been doing things. Because the last thing you want to do is really, like, impose my ideas on an artist. You know, when we were working on King of America, Ray Brown, with Elvis Costello, Ray Brown was playing bass, and we were getting ready to do the take of Poison Rose, and Ray said, "Okay, just don't anybody play any ideas." And I thought, you know, you could not say it better. That's the reality of it, you know. So that's what I don't want. I always like hearing what other people do. You know, I'm always trying to bring other people into the process rather than, you know, instruct them.
We were all very impressed with the Counting Crows first album. Some of us have heard Dave Bryson's demos.
They were great. People have told me that I ruined the record. And I wouldn't argue with them. The demos were fantastic. David Bryson is a very good record maker. And from the very first moment I heard those Dave Bryson demos of The Counting Crows, it sounded like a hit record to me. I thought, oh, that fits. In fact, this may be interesting to you. One of the first groups I worked with was back in the 1960s was a band called the Van Dykes, which was an R&B group, and they had a hit called No Man Is an Island, and it'd been maybe a top five R&B record. And it turned out that Rondalist Luke Tandy, who wrote No Man Is an Island, had taken it out of an old church song that he thought was public domain. And it turned out it was owned by the Bourne Music Publishing Company, and they sued, and everybody sued, and it turned into a big mess. And I just thought, you know, this isn't the way to do it. Having hits is not the way to go. So I'm gonna work in the underground. And I worked in the underground from that time until... And it was important to me to stay underground, you know. And I worked underground from then until I thought to myself, you know, I've done this long enough. Now it's time for me to have a hit. I should start making hit records now. And the next tape I got was the Counting Crows record. And I thought, oh, yeah, this sounds exactly like a hit to me. And because David had done it that way, he made it, he, you know. So, you know, this comes under the category of the universe will cooperate with you if you'll cooperate with it or something, you know. As soon as I felt like it was time for me to make a hit record, that band showed up.
Step out the front door like a ghost into a fog where no one notices the contrast of white on white. And in between the moon and you, angels get a better view of the crumbling difference between wrong and right. Well, I walk in the air between the rain, through myself and back again, where I don't know. Maria says she's dying. Through the door I hear her crying. Why? I don't know. Around here we always stand up straight. Around here something came from Nashville with a suitcase in her hand. She says she'd like to meet a boy who looks like Elvis. And she walks along the edge of where the ocean meets the land, just like she's walking on a wire in a circus. She parks her car outside of my house and takes her clothes off. Says she's close to understanding Jesus, and she knows she's more than just a little misunderstood. She has trouble acting normal when she's nervous. Right here, we're carving out our names. Around here, we all look the same. Around here, we talk just like lives, but we sacrifice like lambs. Round here, she's slipping through my hands. Oh, sweet bitch, you'd better run like the wind out of the light. Parking lot says, man, you should try to take a shot. Can't you see my walls are crumbling? And she looks up at the building, says she's thinking of jumping. She says she's tired of life. She must be tired of something.
Round Here, The Counting Crows, and One Headlight by The Wallflowers. Both records produced by our guest tonight on Selvin on the City, T-Bone Burnett. Stick around, we'll be back.